looking to move LaMelo Ball, to put the ball in Scoot Henderson's hands, find a way to get Miles Bridges back for cheap because he's had his share of issues, and then you have Scoot Henderson, a big wing, and then you have some a trade asset with LaMelo Ball to kind of tinker around with everything. Now, is Jordan and Mitch going to do that? I don't think so, because I think a lot of people, LaMelo's a fan favorite. Heck, he's my favorite. He's my kid's favorite player. So it's going to be difficult to do that. But if I'm thinking for long-term success, and I'm thinking for guys, how can I get to the playoffs sooner rather than later, I would start to look into that possibility a little bit.
Oh, the horror. The horror. I may have to eat vegetables. And Terrence Oglesby says he would look into trading LaMelo Ball. But the crazy thing about this is, Bone, and by the way, Terrence Oglesby knows his basketball. I know some people have taken shots at him. Even the great Mark from Gastonia has taken him on the text line. That is the feud we didn't know we needed in our lives, Bone. But he knows his hoops. There's no doubt about it. My whole thing with his idea of trading, like drafting Scoot, I like the drafting Scoot part. I just don't understand the trade LaMelo thing. Like, I look at LaMelo Ball and the way he shoots the ball catch and shoot situations, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I think he's a pretty damn good catch and shoot outside shooter. And I brought this up when I was talking to Oglesby. Fran Fraschilla called on Twitter the other day. Anybody that doesn't think LaMelo and Scoot can play together says you're out of your mind. You're crazy. And he brought up the phrase mental health break. He said it's a theory that he has on playmakers, that they could use another playmaker to trade off with so that the whole game is not on him running pick and roll constantly and creating and initiating. And I just believe, Bone, that LaMelo Ball would be one that in the half court could slide right off the ball and Scoot creates pick and roll with Bridges if he comes back, pick and roll with Williams out top, and there's LaMelo over there in the corner just burying threes. Like, I think it could work. I think it's – I don't understand, Bone, why if we draft the guy – like, if you think Scoot has the best upside in the draft outside Victor, and I think you and I do, it sounds like Terrence Oglesby does because of the physical attributes that he has – I don't understand why you wouldn't keep the guy that might be the best talent that's ever played for you in LaMelo. Why do you have to trade one away when you draft the other? Try to make it work. And you know what? If you give it a go and a few years down the road, you're like, hey, this isn't working, then all of a sudden you make it. But I don't understand why you can't have them both and give that a go.
Well, LaMelo was 41% catch and shoot from the field, from three catch and shoot. He was 38% from three this year. So there's your... there's your catch and shoot
catch
number.
Catch and shoot threes?
38% catch and shoot threes.
Or 41%.
41% just overall on the field catch and shoot, but 38% from three. So if he wasn't a three, it was 41. But from three, he was 38% if that stat is accurate.
38% on catch and shoot threes is a pretty damn good number.
Here's my question about the idea that Oglesby had. Okay, so he was saying you could have Scoot as your potential number one guy when he gets comfortable and then Bridges as your two. How is that much different, though, than having LaMelo as your one and Bridges as your two? I would want LaMelo and Scoot down the line as your interchangeable one and two, where LaMelo can have times when he plays the Robin or the vice versa, and then let Bridges, whatever he's going to provide, let Bridges go be the three guy. Let Bridges be your guy that's your third option. Let the guards be the focal point of the team. Bridges as the third guy, I'd like him better than as the two guy, because I think with LaMelo and Scoot as your one and your twos, Bridges as your three, and then Mark Williams as your do-everything big man, I think that's better than... because if you just traded LaMelo, how's the ceiling, Matt, change a lot from what we had with LaMelo and Bridges from Scoot to Bridges? It's just different players. Let Scoot and Melo be the guys together with Bridges, and away we go.
It depends on what you get back. Ceiling. What are you trying to get back if you trade LaMelo Ball? Like, what are you going to be able to get back? Are you getting draft picks? Are you... someone says you can sign and trade LaMelo to his... sign him to his new big deal and trade him and get a big money player back. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of three young bucks to get... like, I'm just assuming Bridges is coming back. I'm trying to leave the off-the-court stuff out there. I personally wouldn't bring him back, but I'm almost at this point just assuming he comes back.
It's going to be hard to talk about them without him in the discussion here at some point.
So I feel like... just build around three young bucks.
Like, what are you trying to get, an older player? Like, these three young guys, let them grow together. Isn't this a league, Bone, where a team needs multiple initiators, multiple guys that can run pick and roll? Scoot is an amazing pick and roll player. Explosive as hell. Great pull-up shooter in the mid-range. LaMelo, on the other hand, is a much better catch and shoot, much better three-point shooter. I don't understand how those two things can't coexist. If LaMelo Ball was the outside shooter everybody thought he was coming into the league, I would have reservations. But LaMelo Ball has proven to be a much more efficient and high-volume, too, outside shooter. I think he would take better shots. Like, listen to this criticism here, Bone, and react to this. Because I think, you know, Terrence Oglesby is going after partly the shot selection of LaMelo as a reason why he doesn't like LaMelo. And I actually think his shot selection would get better if he could stand there in the corner and someone else would create off the pick and roll. Listen to this from Oglesby.
Some of these shots, they aren't great shots. I mean, coming off, fading left, doing all these things are what he does conducive to winning. That's my big question. And not saying that he doesn't put up great stats. I mean, what was it, 23, 6, and 8? Is what he does going to be good to go when it comes to playoff time? I feel like Scoot Henderson has that ability to be successful in the playoffs just because of his build. He's just so strong, and he's going to be able to do a lot of those same things. Will LaMelo Ball's game translate to playoff play? I don't know if that's going to be the case.
So what do you think about that, Bob?
I don't get it. I'm looking at the core going forward of these four guys, and I'm going to tell you why I only named four, but LaMelo, Scoot as the backcourt. Again, because it feels like it's inevitable that Bridges is there. So LaMelo, Scoot, Bridges, Mark Williams as your young core. That leaves the four spot open. That could be PJ, depending on the I don't know where he factors into that core. We could throw PJ in there. I don't know. But even if it's just LaMelo, Scoot, Bridges, and Mark Williams, to me, that's a young core that you can grow with and do some things with it. That's four of your five guys.
I think so. I don't understand how, like, and I love Terrence Oglesby, but he knew what he was doing. He knew he was coming in here, dropping a big old mellow bomb on us and rolling out. I'm going back to the church league, going back to my pickup league. He knew what he was doing, Bone Man. He knew he was rocking the boat a little bit.
That Oglesby got us.
So let's deal with his boat rocking. LaMelo, at the age of what, 22, puts up a 23-8-6 season.
Yep.
And you don't know if he can win in the playoffs. Scoot Henderson has not played in the league, and you know he can win in the playoffs. Listen, I believe in both these guys. I believe LaMelo's the most raw, physically gifted player ever to play for the Charlotte Hornets. Right up there with LJ. I mean, I'm putting him right there in that physically gifted category. I believe Scoot Henderson, Bone, would also be among the raw, most physically gifted Hornets ever. The top three, probably, or four. I don't understand why you wouldn't want those two things together and see how it works. Why do you have to get rid of one of them, man? Like, this is not the era, Bone, where you need, okay, I need one point guard, I need one guy to shoot on the wing, I need this wing to do that. Like, it's an era of interchangeable parts, man.
Also, you know? I think Scoot's going to become a better shooter, but I don't want to take shooting away around him. I want to see how it works with LaMelo. How do those two coexist? And like you said, if it doesn't work, well, you've got two guards there. You can figure something out down the line. But if you're going to play Scoot right away, then you need – and Mark Williams, Mac, there's been talk that he can stretch the floor, but we haven't seen it in games. But in this day and age of basketball, if Scoot's trying to find a shot and Mark Williams is not a threat to shoot the ball, you better make sure that your other three guys, your other guard, and your forwards – that they can really stretch the floor and shoot the basketball, because Scoot may not do that right away necessarily, and Mark Williams is not going to do that. You better make sure that you have some guys around him that can really shoot the basketball with the way the game is played this day and age.
Yeah, and Bridges, last time we saw him, that was not one of his strengths.
You better make sure that those other three guys right now, so they can shoot it.
So you don't like the – you don't think – because Bridges didn't really shoot it well last time. He had his best year.
He got better.
He had his best year. But his three-point shooting went down.
It did.
His three-point shooting was better the year before.
If you're going to bring him back, you have to hope that it goes back to the form before his last year here. So All I'm saying is, until Scoot shows you that the outside shot is there, and look, Steve Clifford talked up Mark Williams shooting. We have to see it. But you got to make sure that you're surrounding, not taking away LaMelo from Scoot, that you're you're putting Scoot in an offense that's surrounded by some shooters.
What do they say when they're trying to project? Because a lot of kids come into the NBA and aren't great outside shooters. Perimeter players that are able to rely a lot on their athleticism at those levels, right? They don't need to shoot a lot of threes. And what do they say? They look at the free throw percentage. I'd also look at the mid-range jumper. Scoot Henderson's jump shot from about 15 to 20, off the bounce especially, off the bounce is tremendous. And then, by the way, when you play him for that jumper, he gives you a little head fake and it goes right past you. And I mean, he will dunk on bigs, man. It's just, he's so explosive. You can't teach that crap, but you can work on your shooting. You can't work on becoming Scoot Henderson's explosiveness. That's why I want him picked, Bone. You can't teach that. You can't work on it.
It's a unicorn.
But you can work on your shooting, man. We see it all the time.
He's a unicorn in the guard sets.
And that's what I'm saying. Brandon Miller, I don't think he's a unicorn. He's a great shooter, but I think he's going to be good. But I don't think Brandon Miller is like out of this world. Like, oh my God, how did God create that? Like, Scoot Henderson is literally, how did God create a dude at that size that can do those things physically?
When we come back, one of the stories of the week, Mac, locally is the Charlotte 49ers run to the NCAA tournament. Tough draw. They've got Clemson, Tennessee, but what a weekend it was last weekend in the Conference USA Finals. Their head coach, Robert Woodard, talks about last weekend, the run, and this upcoming weekend as well. Next on Sports Radio, 92.7 WFNZ.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Seven WFNZ, Mac and Bone with you. It is a Wednesday morning edition of the show. Remember the podcast, y'all. We've heard Terrence Oglesby suggest that LaMelo be traded. We have now completely torn that apart. We have spent a bunch of time talking college football. Nick Saban's back at it again, telling you what's so terrible about NIL. So any of this stuff you missed, check it out on the podcast, the hours that you missed. They'll be right there on podcast later today, courtesy of our guy Flounder. WFNZ.com, Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher. We also had some time, Bone, earlier to mention 8 teams in the state of North Carolina, 11 total in all of the Carolinas to be in this NCAA baseball tournament. It is something that we do really well in these parts, and we are absolutely ecstatic that one of those teams is the Charlotte 49ers, courtesy of their 5 straight wins and a title in the Conference USA tournament. They're dancing. They're taking on Tennessee down there in Death Valley in the Clemson Regional. And Scott Woodard is the head coach of Charlotte 49er baseball, and he is nice enough to join us now. Coach, congratulations, man, and thanks for being here.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being here. All right, so Coach, you guys, man, there is really a, I know you went to North Carolina, so I don't want to say like cardiac pack type thing. I don't want to do that to you because you're a Tar Heel, all right? But there was, yep, that was a run, man, that you went on that conjures up memories in sports of teams that have no room for error and can't lose. You lose the first one in the tournament and you win 5 straight. How the heck did y'all pull it off?
Well, I'll just tell you this. I've been coaching Division I baseball for 13 or 14 years now, and I've never been a part of something like that. And I think you just have to point to our players, and you know, they've worked extremely hard since our first team meeting back in August. And you know, like every baseball team along the way, you know, every season is a long season. It's a 56 game college baseball season, so you're never going to be without some type of adversity, and our guys just every step of the way hung in there. And then, you know, we knew we needed to go on a run in this tournament to get into the field of 64. And when we lost that first game on the 9 a.m. game against Louisiana Tech last week, you know, everybody just kind of, we got into our our conference room at the hotel, and everybody just kind of looked at each other and was just, you know, kind of had that look like, we're not done yet. And told the guys to keep their heads up. And, you know, a few weeks ago, a poker legend passed away, Doyle Brunson. Yeah. And I remember, when he passed, I stumbled onto a video where he kind of talked about, in poker, as long as you have a chip at the table, you have a hand. That was really just kind of, for whatever reason, that was the message I felt like the guys needed to hear. You know, it kind of became a little bit of a mantra for us, but it also, you know, also a little bit of a joke, you know, like kind of keep things loose. And so, you know, over the course of the next 4 days, we had to play 5 games. And, you know, over the course of that, you know, anytime the other team would get a big hit or a little bit of a rally going, we would just, you know, guys would just be saying to each other in the dugout, like, we're still sitting at the table.
Yeah.
We're still sitting at the table. And, you know, we kind of all rallied, you know, banded together and just said, hey, let's sit at the table as long as we possibly can until they tell us to go home. And dang, if we didn't win the thing.
That's awesome. Is really great coaching and leadership right
that
there.
That's a great
take
pull.
Something from somewhere else and use it for what you need for your team. That's Ted Lasso-like right there. Just utilizing whatever you can do to get your teams going. That is awesome.
That's
right there.
Stuff.
When you are part of a team, whether it's a coach or a player that wins a title, whether it be conference, tournament, the whole thing, whatever, I mean, whatever level, what kind of bond does that create for your team now and really forever, that you guys will forever be champions of Conference USA for this year?
Yeah, you said it. I mean, we're bonded for life forever now. You know, the players and the family members and the support staff and everybody that was watching at home, you know, those are memories on, you know, not only the Sunday when we won it, but just kind of storming back through the field. You know, those are memories that we'll all have for the rest of our lives. And at our stadium, we have, you know, very significant, numbers on our outfield wall for the years that we've been to the NCAA tournament, won conference championships, et cetera. And, you know, we've got 2023s going up now on the wall that, you know, these guys, when they graduate, they go on to professional baseball, they become husbands and fathers, and they come back to our stadium, they're going to be able to point to it and say, you know, we did that. And those are the types of things we talk about in our baseball program all the time. And I'm just couldn't be more happy for, you know, all of our players and all of our family members a part of our program, because they just did something special, and I've never been a part of anything else like it.
Charlotte 49ers head baseball coach Robert Woodard with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline, the Conference USA champion Charlotte 49ers, and a guy that was a huge part of your season, but especially last weekend, was Cam Fisher, who just went off. You've been around this game your whole life. Can you remember a guy being that hot for that handful of games like he was that past weekend?
No, I mean, he's on a different planet right now, to be honest with you. I mean, he leads the entire Division I baseball with 30 home runs. And, you know, he stormed through the conference in 6 games in the conference tournament. I think he had 6 home runs, 13 RBIs, and had a 2,200 OPS for the baseball guys out there that, you know, value that. And it's crazy. And it couldn't happen to a better person either. You know, that's when your best player or players are your hardest workers and your best people, you're just so, you know, as a coach, you just kind of sit back and try to appreciate it, because that's what you need.
My coach is always like me when I was playing, right? Good person, good player. That's I forgot we were live.
Were you hitting bombs like Cam Fisher, Bone?
Well, I was a great person. I didn't really play a whole lot.
Oh, man. We are talking with Scott Woodard, head coach of Charlotte.
Robert Woodard.
Robert Woodard. Not to be confused with his estranged brother, Scott.
Yeah, he's confusing the LSU AD and our guest on the line right now.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. I was trying to cut it off there, Coach. It happened earlier. The Texters jumped on him. They said, it's Robert. Respect Robert.
That's my bad.
I had to step in there on that one. I apologize, but there we go.
I'm a dummy, Coach. I'm a dummy. All right, let's clean this up.
I think he knows the show. I don't think he expects anything less.
Yeah, he's not surprised. All right, Coach, let me clean this up. This weekend, down there in the Clemson Regional, which is one of the things I love about this tournament, is – A lot of times you get the chance for your fans to only have to travel a couple hours, you know, and I know that's by design. So there'll be a lot of Niner fans down there. This opener, 6 o'clock on Friday night against Tennessee. This is a heck of a matchup that you guys got. What's Tennessee all about, and what are you going to have to do to get the best of them on Friday night?
Yeah, no doubt. I just think the entire regional in general is a great opportunity for Niner Nation to head about 2 hours south, 2.5 hours south, and take in a legit college baseball atmosphere. And then, you know, as far as our matchup goes with Tennessee, they're one of the best pitching staffs in the country. So, pretty much every pitching category, they're top 5-10 in across the board. They're a very talented team that's gritty, that plays very hard, very similar styles play as us. So, you know, I would expect that probably, you know, if you're watching the game, you're probably going to see two teams that look very similar as far as how they attack the game. So it should be a great matchup, and a lot of people out there are saying that the Clemson Regional, just the four teams that were in there, that we're all in there with, might be the toughest amongst them all. So, you know, it would be a lot of fun.
Coach, name a unsung hero or two on your roster, a guy, whether it be a pitcher or a hitter, a person that may not be the headline grabber like Cam was in the first question, but some players that you know internally, hey, your program wouldn't get to this point without those guys.
Yeah, well, I think on the mound you have to start with Wyatt Hudepohl. He's been our Friday starter the entire year, transfer from Kentucky that's really come in and made a name for himself in our program and just one of our best leaders. And when you go through a conference tournament like we just did and come through a loser's bracket, you know, this day and age, you've got pitchers that are on pitch counts and days of rest and those kind of things. And, he made a start on Wednesday and didn't have the start that he wanted. And he took we had 3 days between his first start on Wednesday where we lost in the championship game. And he came back and gave us 6 strong innings on 3 days rest. So, you know, those are the kind of things you have to have to run through a loser's bracket of the tournament. But, you know, there's really too many to name, to be honest with you. I mean, we've got our shortstop, Jack Dragum, has been, you know, he's been a key part of our program for 3 years now. He and Austin Knight and Will Butcher, those are three guys that are a part of our 2021 team that was in the NCAA tournament, along with Jake Cunningham, our center fielder, you know, Charlotte native. So, you know, there's just a lot of guys that have been in our program for 1, 2, 3 years, and they're playing at a really high level right now, and they're doing everything they possibly can to help the Charlotte 49ers get to the College World Series.
All right, so Robert, I was asking Scott about this earlier. Scott Woodard, all right, you're a strange brother, yep. And he had a good answer, but I want to ask you for your answer. All right, you spent time here growing up. You're a Myers Park grad. You know the city of Charlotte. As we said earlier, you played your college ball in Chapel Hill. Does it mean something special that you're like doing it in Charlotte? Like, is that a special part of you kind of building the program here? It has to be, right?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I grew up right behind Carmel Middle School and, here in Southeast Charlotte. And, you know, I live right now about 3 or 4 miles away from the house I grew up in.
Nice.
And, you know, it's special. You know, I mean, I remember driving from Chapel Hill to Charlotte with my car packed up and I could barely move, and seeing the skyline, and, you know, that's kind of where we came up with, you know, sort of the phrase in our program, we play for the nine across the chest in the city of Charlotte, because we want our baseball program to play for something bigger than just wins and losses. And so we really do try to compete and play for the city. And, you know, that stems from not only myself, but, you know, our associate head coach, recruiting coordinator, Toby Bicknell, is a Charlotte Christian grad. Our director of player development, Tyler Simmons, a Charlotte Christian grad. You know, so there's a lot of 704 and Charlotte passion throughout our baseball program. And just like, you know, like you said, you know, when you get, you have that, then we feel like special things can happen. And we want nothing more than the city to look up here not only watch us play this weekend in Clemson, but we want our city to watch us play in a Super Regional and in Omaha.
We have fans asking about tickets for this weekend. Did I see on Twitter the other day, is it contacting the host? Is it contacting the Clemson ticket office? Is that the best way to go about it? Is it charlotte49ers.com? What's the best way for fans to get a hold of tickets for this weekend?
It is charlotte49ers.com /tickets. And then you can also, you can go to our Charlotte Baseball Twitter and Instagram, and all of the information will be on there as well.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, man. Hey, Robert, we appreciate it. You're off to an amazing start. You say, you love doing it here in a city you grew up in Charlotte. Well, I know they love you in Niner Nation. Two appearances now in the NCAA baseball tournament, and hopefully you roll past the regionals this time. Best of luck this weekend down there in Death Valley, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me, and hope we get to be talking next week about
Absolutely.
The Super Regional.
Definitely. Appreciate
Thanks,
you, man. There you go. That's Robert Woodard, head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, and he deserved better than being called Scott. Did I call him Scott more than one time?
Well, I wasn't.
I'm afraid I did it more than once now.
I wasn't sure. Someone said it early, and I didn't know if... I didn't know. Like, what am I going to do?
Did I introduce him?
And then I wasn't going to say anything. Then you went back to it, and I kind of had to step in there. And I told you when the show began, people with the program, they call him Woody, man. Just call him Woody. It avoids the whole problem.
You
didn't have to call him Robert or Scott or
Dave. I feel like such a dumbass.
By the way.
He deserved better than that, man.
By the way, I hate to do this. I hate to make you feel even worse. LSU's AD, I just looked it up. It is Scott Woodward.
Oh, Woodward.
We've been saying it wrong the whole day.
I messed both these guys' names up today.
Oh, my God.
At least I didn't do it face-to-face with little Scotty there. At least I didn't offend him personally. He doesn't know about it.
We'll go clean that up. We'll send some texts around and make sure that everyone's.
Am I becoming Jim Salania? Y'all can tell me. I really thought T-Bone was becoming Jim Salania. I think I'm becoming Jim Salania. Yes. Am I becoming old and over the hill?
When you start wearing jackets with patches on the elbows in mid-July, then I think that might be it. All right, we'll clean it up. We'll send some texts and apologize and make sure we're all good here. This is not our first rodeo here. So he's
doing a hell of a job. And by the way, Niner fans, get down there and get some green in that stadium. You know how much orange is going to be in that stadium?
That's a nightmare. Two teams I hate, Clemson and Tennessee, in one spot.
It's going to look like a giant pumpkin, that damn stadium down there in Death Valley with all that orange. So get some green down there, and just to make sure you call Coach Woodard, either Woody or Robert. All right, make sure those are things you call him.
We're just going Woody. Wilder, how do we do?
Loud. Pick us up, baby. Pick us up.
I could hear at one point a Flounder sigh in the background.
Do I have to give you a grade for this? Because this is, that was a rough segment.
That's all right.
We got it. Did
you notice I tried to clean it up with a Robert Woodard at one point to make sure we said the name again just to get it in there?
I didn't hear that.
Such a good man, too. Good man on a run.
Matt
just took a man down.
You know what I'm going to do for him? Tennessee wins on Friday night, everybody. Lock it in. Lock it in. Tennessee's going to win on Friday night. That's what I'm going to do for him right there, Bo. All right? That's the best gesture I can give him.
If he doesn't listen to the show and for some reason he turned it on to hear him say, he is so confused
right
now.
He's going to be like, this jerk called me the wrong name. He's picking against us. Coach, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This is going to help you. All right?
All right. Well, let's talk about the big news in college basketball surrounding the North Carolina Tar Heels. There's actually two stories that happened yesterday. It started with the reclassification of 2024 point guard Elliot Cadeau, the five-star, a guy who has just been tearing it up. He led his team to a Geico Nationals title this past season. Now is doing work on the EYBL trail. And now he will be heading to Carolina a year early, a guy that many people, including Terrence Oglesby, earlier in the show, are calling the best passer at the high school level right now. What a change this could be for a Tar Heel team that hasn't really had great guard play in terms of sharing the basketball.
We talked about the lack of assists, how badly they were at setting each other up last year. I think I know a couple reasons why. One of them's gone. 310th in assist rate this past year. 310th. This kid is being compared to Kendall Marshall in his passing ability. This kid is going to get guys easy shots,
their offense,
man,
should be back on track.
I need a cigarette.
He can put some hit-ahead passes to
the
guys.
The fast break is going to come back,
too. The question is on the other end. He's small. He's 6 feet, and he's going to pair with R.J. Davis at 6 feet. So UNC's offense should be back to resembling something of UNC's offense that we've seen. The The question is going to be the blend with R.J. Davis in terms of the guard spot and just defense. You know, their UNC's backcourt will be very small, both 6 feet. So offensively, they'll be fine. Defensively, we'll see how that plays out there with the pairing of R.J. Davis.
I feel like you see small guards play together in college way more than the pros, though.
Plus, you do have a pretty elite-level defender, at least for his freshman year, in Seth Trimble that's coming back next year. I mean, he was outstanding on the defensive end. So there'll be times where you can use him in the backcourt alongside either Cadeau or R.J. Davis. The mindset of R.J. Davis, that's the big thing from that report with Brennan Marks.
Is he willing to play off the ball? Because that was one of the contentious things with Caleb Love is RJ wants the ball in his hands.
Well,
maybe different personality now. And
let me just tell you how I think that works, Bone, because I know what you're saying. But one guy would dominate the ball and wouldn't pass to him. Yeah. This guy is going to dominate the ball and hit him. How many wide open jumpers is RJ Davis going to get because
of this
kid?
He is going to love this dude.
Yeah, he's going to love it, man.
By the way, that man that you talked about just a second ago, Caleb Love, he has found his new home, his newer home, I should say, after he decommitted from Michigan. He will head to play for Arizona. And now, I mean, Arizona building a pretty solid squad there. Him, as well as Alabama transfer, a guy that used to play in this area as well, up at the Cannon School, Jaden Bradley, now going to be that backcourt for the Wildcats.
There you go. He'll be the one that'll be mad at Caleb Love. They'll be fighting off the court.
They play that game. That's like Duke's second game, I think. It's like it's before the Champions Classic.
Are they going to honor him?
They have a home and home with Arizona. Duke will play at Arizona next year. They host Arizona way early in the season this year. Duke also going to play Baylor this year, and they got a pretty good non-conference.
Caleb Love going to seal that game with a jumper over the outstretched arms of the Arizona big. No?
He's on Arizona.
Oh, the Duke big. No. God, I'm struggling, man.
By the way,
I can't even deliver a smart-ass comment to Bone about Duke correctly at this point.
How about this, Mac? You send us to break right now, Mac. You pick yourself up right now. You send us to break mistake-free. Hit it. Go ahead.
All right. You're listening to the Wes and Walker Show, everybody, here on Sports Radio WBT. That's what you're listening to right now, everybody. When we come back, we'll talk about our soccer team. Charlotte SC, right? Isn't it SC? All right. Did I do well, Bone? It's coming up next. Charlotte FC playing tonight. We'll preview it, and we got some texts from you. You guys are a little feisty and salty today. Mac and Bone.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Baseball coach Robert Woodard will join us. That is Woodward, right?
Woodard. Yes.
Okay.
Also goes by just plain Woody.
Woody, that would
That's
be a lot easier.
They call him within the program, just Coach Woody.
I put a second W in there.
They tell me Woodard. These things to tell you so you don't mess up the name. There you go.
There you go. We got it, baby. We got it. That's why I try this stuff out at 6:04 when no one's listening. And by the time it's 8:04 when everybody's listening, I have the name correct. And Scott Woodard is the head coach of Charlotte 49er baseball, and he is nice enough to join us now. Coach, congratulations, man, and thanks for being here. Oh, my gosh. So glad, Flounder. You couldn't just leave that mistake I made on the poor guy's last name at 6 o'clock. You couldn't just let that be. You had to relive it. I screwed up. I bookended this show by screwing up Robert Woodard, the head coach of Charlotte baseball's name. Bookended it.
We thought we were clear with the last name. I didn't know the first name was going to come up. I thought we established the name Woodard at 6:04. He also goes by Woody, and I thought we were safe. I didn't know the first name was going to come and bite us in the tuchus.
Yeah, you went over only the last name with me. Don't you know now at 6:05 we got to go over every guest for the show, first, middle, and last names now. All right? We got to do a class.
Why is Bone always nervous? Why is Bone always stressed out? Well, this is why. All right, I thought I handled the situation.
It's on me.
It's not on you. It's on me. I put trust in you.
Yeah.
I failed us.
God, seriously. All right, so it was a rough show today, boys. I get him back tomorrow. Multiple people saying the salad is to blame. I chose a very unorthodox method of lunch. I ate a salad yesterday. I just don't think the salad, something about the salad creates a chemical imbalance inside me.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was.
Vinaigrette brain. It's a whole thing. If you're eating a salad, vinaigrette can mess up your brain. That's why I only eat ranch for my
lettuce dressing. Fever.
Holy crap. It's got to be. One of those two is what it's got to be. By the way, thanks to Robert Woodard for joining us on the show today. Best of luck against Tennessee and hopefully well beyond that in the NCAA tournament, starting at Clemson in the regionals. Also, thank you to Terrence Oglesby, who we love, but we got mad at him because he tried to trade LaMelo Ball hypothetically on the show today.
See, that's the name that you should have messed up, Macker.
Which one?
Terrence Oglesby.
After he
suggested that about LaMelo, you should have stuck it to him.
I would have felt better about messing his name up.
Old Terry. That's what Mac was going to call him. Old Terry O.
David Sampson also joining us talking baseball today says, don't worry about this Braves stretch that they're on right now, that they've struggled the last few weeks. It's early, and every good team will have one of those during the course of the season. Plus, I'll add in, Bone, have you seen their division? They can play with their food for a while here.
Yeah. Also, want to say congratulations, Matt, to the great Al Pacino. He'll be a father. It was announced yesterday. Al Pacino is going to be a dad at 83 years old. His 29-year-old partner will be giving birth. So congrats to Al Pacino. We'll be 83. He passes Robert De Niro.
Didn't we?
Who announced at 79 a couple weeks ago he'll be a father.
Man, these old dudes still getting it done, man. Seriously.
What would you do for an inch?
Wow. That's what Al asked his lady right before the big moment. All right.
So you're making up for it now.
Anyway, I can still be funny. I'm just a dumbass.
You can be a father no matter the age on any given Sunday.
That's true, man. Oh, man.
All
seriously.
You need is the scent of a... Was he a scent of a woman?
Yep.
Yeah, I got that one too, didn't I?
Yeah. Hoo-ah! Hoo-ah! Sense of Woman was a great movie.
Al Pacino was amazing. That's how you make a baby at 83 years old. You use the word hoo-ah during the process.
I'm telling you right now, Steamin' Willie Beeman would be impressed by this from Al Pacino. Big time, baby. All right, let's get into what's coming
up. That's the name of a character in a movie. That's not the name of Al Pacino's parts.
No, that was his quarterback.
Steamin' Willie Beeman.
In Any Given Sunday. He had his own songs. How did the song go? Willie Beam, and I keep the ladies. I can't say that. Yeah, that's, you remember that song, Bodie?
I do. Look at you. You're making up for the past four hours.
I've come alive, baby. I've come alive. By the way, later today in sports, Braves try to take one against the sorry, woeful A's. That's a 3:37 game. Afternoon first pitch, 3:37. And then also tonight, I cannot wait to see Charlotte FC. I'll take a point. I'll take a draw in this one. They got a big road win the other day, but that is against a LA Galaxy team that is playing terribly. The Philadelphia Union Bone are, you know, one part of the class of the East, man. They won the East last year. This one's going to be a freaking battle. They're going to press us. I'm worried about playing out of their press. I'd take a tie tonight, a draw tonight. We'll see what ends up happening. It's 7:30. And by the way, I tweeted out yesterday, they're doing a month-long free pass for MLS League Pass. So go find the link on my Twitter yesterday. If you're always wondering, hey, how do I watch Charlotte FC? You can watch them free for a month. Free league pass for a month if you click on the link that I tweeted out yesterday.
Yeah, Warren and Julie, Mac, obviously on the radio call. We'll have Julie Charman on tomorrow. And Warren Palachik will fill in for me on Friday. So our thanks to Warren and Julie, Mac.
For a second, I was wondering, what's Bone doing
here,
man?
I'm just playing your game. I'm a big Warren P. guy.
All right, let's check
out. Is it bad that I like Warren better than Willie Ford?
Warren's a great name.
Warren P., baby.
Warren Palachik. His brisket, moist as they come.
Oh,
I'm telling
tremendous.
You right now.
Also, but, never angry anybody and just go with the foot. Warren P. is my guy.
By the way,
I love Julie, too.
I got told earlier today when I admitted that I have a giant, I'm one of these these guys with a giant stomach and no rear end, no butt. And multiple people said, I have a booty do. My stomach sticks out further than the booty do. And then another guy says, I have a Hank Hill body. And I thought that would be the low point of the show. But no, I actually got lower than that body shaming.
Mac, lower than that. Listener Demi sent me a meme this week of an Ethiopian tribe war. The man with the biggest belly is the most respected man in the tribe. So the bigger the belly, the bigger the role, and the bigger the respect in Ethiopian culture. So if you were an Ethiopian tribes, Mac, you would be at the highest level.
I'd be high ranking, baby. Maybe I need to take a road trip on. Maybe I'd be more accepted instead of body shamed and called Hank Hill. You know what I mean?
All right. I get called Bobby Hill. How do you think I feel?
Yeah, you're my son. I'm Hank, you're Bobby.
I got Bobby Hill's haircut.
All right, I'm out of here, man. I'm watching the Ted Lasso finale. I cannot wait when I get home.
Oh, me too.
I know you're going to watch it, and I'll also eat something, maybe not a salad. I will eat something, Bone, of the healthy variety today. I can do it. I can do it. All right? Even Scott and Robert Woodard believe I can do it. We're out of here. Charlotte Sports Today coming up next, live for the Touchdown Club where John Smoltz is appearing. All right, we're out of here.
What body parts can we talk about, Bone, in the next 2 hours? We're already talking about butts.